Good morning, church family. This is Sunday, April the 19th, our morning worship time, or at least a replacement for the message during that time. And so we're not able still to gather together as a church. Someday, hopefully someday soon, we can get things back more to a normal. I have no idea what changes will take place when we get back together, but I'm still looking forward to that time. Without question, the Word of God instructs us or tells us that a role of the local church assembly is to edify the church. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 tells us the equipped men that are given to the church, and they are given to the church for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's part of my role. It's part of the role of the church in general, to build you up and equip you for ministry, it's a true idea of edifying. In chapter 4 and verse 16, in a rather lengthy verse, it says, the whole body fitly joined together. And at the end of the verse it says, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So you can see, New Testament, this would be dealing with the church, that the role of the church is to edify. The role of the body is to edify each other. And so we see this idea of edification is an important concept. It's part of the lifeblood of the local church and of who we are as the body of Christ. But what do you do when the church is hindered from gathering? Right? What do we do with this edification that is really no longer there? Part of this teaching is you can watch the video and you can be edified through that. But there are things about us being together that we miss. It's difficult to edify one another. You can do that on your own. You can call people, you can do it, but it's not the same as the role of the church in this idea of edification. So what do we do when we are limited in these contacts with others? I'm going to suggest to you this morning that what we need to do is we need to edify ourselves. It's part of what we're going to see in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 27, right? Old Testament, historical book, 1 Samuel, and then the 27th chapter. We're going to begin reading out. I'll read a few verses there, but let me give you some of the history behind what happens. We find the man David, who would become the king. Basically, he is anointed, but he doesn't take the throne, take charge, become the actual king for about 8 years. And during that 8-year time, there's all sorts of history given to us in the scripture about what took place and, basically how he was fleeing from Saul and the events that happened in David's life at that time. We have some psalms that are given to us with a historical reference to what's going on in these times. We have other psalms, obviously, that are not historically linked. We don't know when he wrote them. But the psalms are David's reflections of what was happening in his life, in his spirit, in his thoughts. And it would include this time frame of this 8 years between his anointing and his ascending to the throne. Part of what we can see historically is that David experienced ill treatment, injustices, attempts on his life, and discouragement. All right, sometimes acting wisely in the midst of those tasks, other times not acting wisely. Sometimes we see David turning to and trusting in the Lord, and sometimes not. But these historical references and the reflection upon them in the Psalms, I think, are an important asset to us as we consider our own spirit and our own need to be edified, built up during this time of the COVID-19 pandemic. 1 Samuel chapter 27, look with me, and I'm going to read the first four verses and then make some comment on them. But verse 1 says, "And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So I shall escape out of his hand. And David arose, and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him to Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath." He's a Philistine king. "And David dwelt with Achish at his household, at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives." They're mentioned there, verse 4. "And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him." David had this plan. He was tired of running from Saul. So he says, "I'm going to flee to the Philistines, and Saul will stop pursuing me." Well, that's exactly what happened. Verse 4 says, when he heard that he had gone to Gath, to the Philistines, he didn't go after him anymore. I think it's something that's really beside the message today, but it is something to keep in mind. David got what he wanted, all right? He got what he was after, to get rid of, you know, flee from Saul and have Saul stop pursuing him. But I think it was not what God wanted him to do, right? He didn't trust God. He didn't turn to God. He didn't in any way seek after God as to what he should do. But rather, he says, "I've got this plan." His plan worked, but it's not what God wanted. I think that can happen in our days. We can come up with a plan, and it can work. But the real question is it what God wanted us to do? That's beside the point. There is a record, there is no record of David seeking the Lord's guidance or seeking the Lord's strength at this time. In other words, his going to the Philistines for refuge was in his own strength and in his own thoughts. It was his own plan. It was not what God did. He was turning to the wrong source for his encouragement, as we'll see in just a moment. While he's there, David wins the favor of the Philistine king and demonstrates his loyalty to him. Look at, for example, at 27 verse 5. "David said unto Achish, if I now have found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I might dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee?" So he dwelt with Achish, the Philistine king, for a while. Then he says, "Give me a place of my own." And he had won the trust. He had won the confidence of Achish. And that's what he does. Go on down to chapter 28 and verse 2. "And David said unto Achish, surely thou shalt know that thy servant can do. And Achish said unto David, therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever." And so there was, you know, he was elevated to a position. But he had gone to Achish for refuge, but he had established himself in the Philistine territory, amongst the Philistine authorities. He became almost a leader of sorts. But remember that the Philistines were the enemies of the nation of Israel. So there comes a time when the Israel and the Philistines are going to battle. And so history you can fill in that history and see what's happening with this that goes there. But in chapter 29 of 1 Samuel, in verse 1, we read this: "Now the Philistines gathered together all their armies to Aphek, and the Israelites pitched a fountain which is in Jezreel." So you just have to see, these armies are encamped against each other, poised to fight. Now, David is known to be an Israelite. Achish knows that. And other generals of the Philistine army convince Achish that David has no place in this battle because he is really part of the enemy. Although he had risen to a place of prominence and so forth, there was a sense that they didn't trust David during the time of battle. So David is sent home, chapter 29 and verse 7. Achish comes to him and says, "Wherefore now return and go in peace, that thou displease not the lords of the Philistines." So he tells him, go back home, go back to your place. You stay out of this battle that is going to take place. Upon David's return to his home, here's what he finds, chapter 30, verse 1. "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites," another group, "had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam of Jezreelites and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters." So if you get the situation, David returns home after being turned down, basically kicked out of the battle between the Philistines and the Israelites. Another group had gone to their town, burned the city, taken away their families captive, and resulting in the fact that not only did they grieve intensely over the losses that they had incurred, but they were so angry at David that they wanted to stone him for this happening in the first place. So what we find there is this turn of events, this situation, the circumstances that were there. Clearly, verse 6 says, distressed. If you follow and see what happens in the last part of the verse, it says, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He was distressed. He was discouraged. And what he did, right? Everybody's against him. There's nobody else with him. He's all by himself. Nobody else he's the leader in charge. He's greatly distressed and greatly discouraged. Nobody's there to encourage him. And so what he does is he encourages himself in the Lord. Your circumstances, our circumstances are different. Our difficulties and our hardships, our pressures and our stresses upon our life, even now during the COVID-19, can be discouraging. Right? It can lead us to times of discouragement. Where we would receive our encouragement in the assembly of the church and being with others is maybe taken away from us. We can't do that. We are hindered from that. You say, well, what am I going to do? I'm discouraged. Where's that discouragement coming from? May I suggest to you that the example of David is that we can encourage ourselves in the Lord. We can encourage ourselves. We can edify and lift up ourselves in the Lord. Now, we are not told, we'll get back to this passage in just a moment, we are not told how he did that. But I mentioned at the outset that there are psalms that tell us what is going through David's mind. what he did. There are reflections, yes, in poetry, in song about, you know, the things that he did. I think we can look at those psalms, and we may not know the exact historical reference that they refer to, but certain patterns develop. And I'm going to show you those in just some of the references that I've listed for today. Psalm 42. So take your Bibles and go to Psalm 42. Psalm 42 gives us this reference, and I'll give you the first point. I think the first thing David did to encourage himself in the Lord was he deliberately turned his thoughts on God. He meditated on who God is, that is his character, on what God has already done, that is his works, and on what God has promised to do that he had shared in David's time through the prophets and in the law, that these promises were very real to David. Psalm 42, listen to what it says. It says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, and with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and the Hermonites and the hill of Mizar." We see from this reference that in the midst of discouragement, what I need to do, what David did, is he deliberately brought God back into his thoughts. He meditated on who he is, what he had done. He thought about these matters. That consumed his thinking. I think that needs to be what we think on so often, because of in the times that we live, we have this time and we're curious about all the things with the pandemic, and we have news sources that we turn to, and all of this information comes to us. And sometimes our soul becomes disquieted as we think about all the things that are happening. We become riled on the inside. Can I suggest to you that what we need to do is change where our focus is, put it on who God is, what he has done? He tells me that in his word, but I meditate on that as I bring it back into my mind. And as my mind begins to think on who God is, I am changed, all right? My spirit, my attitude becomes different. The circumstances stay the same, but my attitude is no longer distressed and discouraged, but I am encouraging myself in the Lord. Psalm 57, let me read another reference here. Psalm 57, and you're going to see these. Maybe it's a time for you to live in the Psalms and to read these words and think what's there. But Psalm 57, verses 1 and following, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until the calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions. I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above the earth." Look at verse 7. "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed I will sing and give praise. Awake up my glory, awake psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise the Lord among the people. I will sing unto among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let the glory be above all the earth. We're not together as a church to sing songs like that. Be thou exalted. And to sing this together as a congregation. And I'm not even saying that you need to sing when you're by yourself. But the idea is we put our thoughts on the Lord. We put our thoughts on Him, who He is, what He has done. And that's how I encourage myself in the Lord. The book of James, please don't turn there, but the book of James, there's the idea that I am to count it all joy when I encounter these various trials, temptations. And book of James says, knowing that the trying of your faith bringeth forth these things. So I deliberately recall what I already know, and I realize that that's what's going to encourage me in the things of the Lord. I'm going to suggest to you that spending more time with news reports is not going to encourage you. It's not going to in some way bring that kind of an edification building up. But spending time with the Lord is going to do just that. Take your Bibles and go with me to Philippians. That's New Testament, not the Psalms. But I want to show you something, and you can see matters like this in the Psalms, but there's a clarity to Philippians in chapter 4, which you will be recognized. We've addressed this. I've preached on it, taught on it many different kinds, times, and different contexts. But I think there's a deliberate meditation on God. Second thing that I think David does is that he makes a definite effort to seek God. All right, to seek after Him. There's a lot in the scripture about seeking after God, how He will be found if I seek after Him. But there's an activity involved in seeking after God. It's not just a desire to seek Him, but a seeking after Him. It's a little bit different than the first point where I deliberately bring back to my mind these truths of God and I meditate, I think on those things. That here is also found in Philippians chapter 4. But look at chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing. The idea of anxious, the idea of a worrying. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Can I suggest to you that's seeking after God? That's coming to Him in prayer. That's thanking Him. That's entering into His presence. When I find myself anxious and I find myself maybe discouraged, what I do is I seek after God. I seek after Him in prayer. Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So what that prayer does with thanksgiving is changes my attitude from worry and anxiousness to peace, which passes all understanding. It can change my attitude from discouragement over all the circumstances that are going on. In David's case, the loss of his home, the burning of the city, the taking away of this family, and the people's opposition against him, all of these things. You say that the circumstances don't change, but he changed. He's exercised that change. So a definite effort to seek after God. You say, how do I do that? Well, go after Him in prayer. If you're discouraged, encourage yourself in the Lord. How do I do that? Put your mind on Him. Pray. Go after Him in prayer. And then obviously the one that I'm not going to address, but is really another key point. I seek after Him in His Word. Open up the Bible. Read. I get it. Sometimes when we are discouraged, that's the last thing we want to do. If you think back to David, when Saul was after him and all the hardships that were going on, the first thing that comes to his mind is, I gotta do something. I gotta get rid of this pursuit from Saul. And so he makes a poor choice to go to the Philistines and to seek refuge there. How much better would it be for us to turn and to seek after God and seek refuge in him and in his word? We can encourage ourselves in the Lord. I'm going to suggest to you, there may be a need for me to say, we must do that while we can't gather together. Or you can't come to church and be encouraged there. Or you can't visit with others and be encouraged there. But what you can do is encourage yourself in the Lord. Go back with me to 1 Samuel in chapter 30. Let me show you one other thing from this text. And it basically deals with what David does after he encourages himself in the Lord. All right, so 1 Samuel in chapter 30. All right, so verse 6, the end of verse 6, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said unto Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. Say, what? It's a historical reference. Say, what does all that mean? Well, I believe what it did is we see David dedicating himself to go after God's direction, to do what God wants him to do. All right, so we see him turning around. He encourages himself in the Lord, and then he seeks the Lord, in this case, in what, Lord, what do you want me to do? You say, how do I get that from this reference? Well, he goes after the priests, and he wants him to bring the ephod. The ephod, there's different ways of understanding what would happen, but they would seek the Lord with the ephod, and God would reveal answers through that ephod. There's an Old Testament theology behind all of that and how God would use that and so forth. But what it tells me is that what David is doing is he's deliberately dedicating himself to following what God wants him to do. I think there's a recognition that he shouldn't have gone to the land of the Philistines in the first place. That didn't work out, did it? He shouldn't have fled on his own will without seeking after the Lord in that. And so while he made that decision to flee without seeking the Lord, now after he's encouraged himself in the Lord, and what he does is he seeks what God wants him to do next. Historically, you can see how that works out, but I think there's a dedication to following after God's direction. You want to encourage yourself in the Lord, meditate on who God is. Put your thoughts on him. You want to encourage yourself in the Lord, make an effort to seek after him in prayer and in the word so that you can fuel your meditation on who God is and what he's doing. And you want to encourage yourself in the Lord, well, give yourself to asking, Lord, what do you want me to do? Dedicate your life to following him in all things. And when that happens, the circumstances don't suddenly change, but you change. You can encourage yourself in the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, indeed, we're thankful for your goodness. We're thankful that we can do this. You make this possible. As we seek after you, put our thoughts on you, and give ourselves to going in your way. Lord, enable us, remind us, that we can do this. Bring to our thoughts the example of David, and then cause us, while we're apart as a church and unable to encourage one another, Lord, and cause us still to be edified and encouraged in you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.